Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Grab your Bibles, open up to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to continue with our series, Elevate. We just have planned one more message in this series next Sunday, and we'll finish this out. We're in Colossians chapter 3. Today's special because I've asked my wife, Lacey, to come and to help me with sharing where we're at right in this passage. And so she's going to be coming up. So thankful that she is going to be a part of this, and she was willing, right? She was willing to say yes when I asked her. Well, I want to open up with a word of prayer, and would you stand? We've been sitting for a little while. Lord, we come before you. We stand in reverence to you, to your word, to these next few moments. We believe they can be sacred. They can be dedicated to you, and that you can speak into us in incredible ways. Help each of us, Lord, to walk away with something that you're depositing in us, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hey, it's great having you up here. Well, Lacey and I started dating when I was 17 and she was 16, so we were super young. And I just want to say this, parents, if your kids come to you this week and want to use Lacey and I as a shining example of dating at a young age, and that's why they should start dating at a young age, I'm going to help you out. Here's a couple things that you could say. You could say, well, first of all, let me just say this. There's no way you are as mature as Pastor Keith and Lacey were at that age. Okay. And then send them to their room for even asking. You know what I'm saying? No, joking. If that doesn't work, here's something else that you could potentially say if they're wanting to use us as an example of why they should start dating young. You say, what? Why would you want to date at such a young age? You are way more mature than Pastor Keith and Lacey were back then at that age. So we're just giving you a couple things, parents, to help you out so that you're equipped as you go through this week. Well, we did start dating at a young age. I have to tell you, though, it was probably 2.5 years into dating before I could even articulate the word marriage, like before that would even come out of my mouth. And I think it's just because our parents taught us well from the word that marriage is for life. And so it is this commitment, not just this one time, this ongoing commitment of surrendering yourself to the Lord and then to his plan for a man and woman coming together. And so for me, that was like big time adult stuff, right? I was still a teenager. I'm like, I can't even say that word. Can't even say it.
I remember during the first couple years of being married, Keith wouldn't even have a conversation with me about having children. Like, that was serious adult stuff as well. So whenever I started really having baby fever and trying to bring up the subject again and again and again, Keith recommended that I work in the church nursery because he had heard that there was a certain toddler in there whose dirty diapers were horrendous. And he was right. And so that experience held me off for just a bit longer. But I did finally convince him to have a baby, and so we now have 3 incredible kids, and we just actually gained a daughter with our oldest son getting married in March, and it has been a crazy ride, but there is no one I would rather share it with than this man that's sitting right there.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Thank you.
Welcome.
Well, I don't think there's a day that goes by that I am not super grateful to the Lord. And if your parents, grandparents, you know what I'm talking about, for how God has blessed me with Lacey and with our kids. And we're just so thankful for how he's blessed us. I truly believe that God blessed me 1,000,000% more than I deserved, without a doubt. And as we now head into this next part of Colossians chapter 3 in this series, we actually come to a portion of the scripture that is devoted to families, on how families are to operate. And you know, as you've been engaged in this series in person or online, how we've been focused in on Colossians throughout the first part of this year and then this summer. First 2 chapters were all about what? The supremacy of Christ, that he is Lord over everything. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is Lord over everything and is to be Lord over everything in every part of our lives. And as we've gotten to chapter 3, then Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is getting practical. He's like, all right, if Jesus is Lord over all, and if he's made living a life pleasing to him possible, then this is how you are to live in his power. And we get now to this passage, which it really begins to dig into how Jesus is to be supreme over all of our relationships.
I've heard it said that guys' brains are like waffles, that their thoughts are separated into different topic boxes. So you might have your work box and your sports and hobbies box and your kids box and your food box. And girls' brains, on the other hand, are more like spaghetti. So we're fluid and our thoughts are varied and they connect in very random ways sometimes. But whichever way our brains work, Jesus doesn't fit into any of our boxes, and he doesn't fit into any of our pieces of pasta, right? He isn't supposed to fit. He's supposed to be Lord of every box and every plate of spaghetti. So with that in mind, let's read what it looks like for Jesus to be supreme over our family relationships. Colossians 3:18 through 20 says this, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord."
Well, this passage can be very convicting when you read it, and it's also a passage I think that's been really misunderstood. And it's possible some of you, as you've seen us go verse by verse so far through Colossians chapter 3, that you were hoping that I would skip over this part. You know, you're like, can we just go on to chapter 4, please? There's some good stuff in there. But this is a very important passage. Obviously, the Holy Spirit wanted it to be in our scripture, and we see it in multiple places. And a while back, when I opened my Bible to start looking at this message and start preparing for what God might have for us on this Sunday, I quickly, in reading it, asked two questions really quick. The first one was this: why did Paul write these descriptions and commands in this order? Wives, husbands, children. You know, why is it not husbands first and then wives and then children? Why is it not the kids? Like, kids get the breaks all the time. Come on, why not put them first? But he zeroes in first of all on the wives. And Paul does not explain why, but he's consistent. If you read in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul uses the same order in writing to that church: wives and then husbands and then children. And even though we don't know exactly why Paul did that, I wonder if it's just because Paul understood and the Holy Spirit wanted him to get this across, that wives have an incredible opportunity to impact the families. They have when they fulfill what God has called them to do, and do this in a Christ-honoring way, they have a way of profoundly impacting their husbands and profoundly impacting kids that husbands and kids could only dream of. And so Paul begins, wives, husbands, kids. Now, the other question that I asked as I opened this up was this: why those specific commands? Wives, what does it say? Submit, husbands, love, children, obey. Why do each of these groups of people have different specific commands? And we might think, well, aren't we all created equal in the sight of God? Like, why would there be different commands for these different groups? And of course, we are all created equal in God's sight, but God, in his creative genius and his intentionality, designed each of these groups, each of these people, to fulfill different roles and responsibilities. And when wife, husband, and child fulfill their God-given responsibilities and their God-given roles, it does something. It represents the character of Jesus. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. It represents the character of Jesus. And then together, not just is the family affected and there's peace and harmony and synergy and all that, but when everyone is fulfilling their God-given roles, there is a picture, a breathtaking picture of the glory and the supremacy of Christ that we are able to give other people that are looking at our family or even in our family.
Let's look at this breathtaking picture just by digging into the verses a little more. So verse 18 says this, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Let me just start by stating the obvious. Some women have problems with this verse, but I truly believe the reason is that some of us don't truly understand what submission truly is. I think that some women may hear this verse and think submission means it's a wife who is silent, who is unable to express her opinions, who's dominated by a man, who's treated as if she's inferior, or who is used as a doormat. And that is not what submission is. It is not something degrading or demeaning or humiliating. To submit to someone is not a sign of weakness. It is actually a sign of strength, because to submit is to yield voluntarily, and that yielding takes a whole lot of strength of character. So here's what submission in marriage truly is. It is a wife choosing to have a heart of respect towards her man, choosing to be supportive of him, and choosing to embrace the responsibility God has given her to truly be his helpmate. So let me try to illustrate it this way. Let's say my dad comes over and he gives me this gift of a plant. He tells me to make sure that to pay attention to what the instructions on the plant says, that it needs frequent watering and it needs lots of sunlight. Now, although I have been given this plant and I have been told the instructions for how to make it grow to its fullest potential, I choose if I'm actually going to accept those instructions or not. I can either reject my responsibility and do a kind of half-hearted job of taking care of it. And if I choose this, one thing is certain. This plant will suffer damage. Right? It will wilt, it will die, it won't grow, it won't bloom, it will look kind of like this, because this is the plant that I left outside and completely forgot about. And this is what happened. Or I can embrace my responsibility to care for this gift, and I can give my plant what my dad said it needed, and it will flourish, and it will grow, and it will bloom to its full potential. Wives, our Heavenly Father has given us the gift of our husband, and he has given us a tag with instructions on it called his word to tell you what your man needs. He needs a wife who chooses to have a heart of respect and support towards him, who yields in love, and who is his helpmate. But ladies, we have to choose. We choose if we're going to obey these instructions and embrace this God-given responsibility, if we're going to choose to maintain a heart of respect towards an imperfect human who's going to make mistakes, just as we will. Once again, one thing is certain. If we neglect our responsibility to submit, our men will suffer damage. And they're not going to grow to their full potential, because men need to know that their women respect them just as much as we women need to know that we are loved. So if I truly love God and my man, I will choose to follow my father's instructions. To paraphrase this verse, we could actually say, wives, voluntarily yield to your husband's leadership in love, having a heart of respect, and let him lead. And when we as wives embrace this God-given responsibility, we reveal Jesus to those around us, because he gave us a perfect example, a beautiful picture of submission when he yielded in love and he gave his life for us.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I know that when Lacey just, I believe, operates in this so well, and it has drastically affected my life. I've told some guys before that when a guy receives that respect and that affirmation, even if you don't deserve it, but you're receiving that, you feel like you can just run through a brick wall. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a brick wall. It doesn't even matter. My wife respects me and affirms me. She thinks I'm awesome. I don't know if I am, but she thinks it. I mean, where's the brick wall? I'm going to run through it right now with my head because I could do that right now. It is fuel. It really is fuel for us guys to have that affirmation and have that respect coming from our wives. It is truly life-changing. Thanks for sharing that. And husbands, I know you were hoping that we ran out of time before we'd get to your part. I think we still have a little bit. So let's dig in once again. All created in the image of God, but God gives us different roles and different responsibilities. And Paul makes this very clear in this passage. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord, and then turns the corner and then begins to speak to the husbands and their responsibility. Here's what we see in that next verse. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Remember, different roles, different responsibilities, and let me add, with different roles and different responsibilities comes different accountability. Think back to the Garden of Eden. Think back to the first temptation that came. Adam and Eve were there. Who was the first one, according to the Bible, to sin? All the guys are like, I know the answer. I'm not going to say it. I know. It's Eve. According to the Bible, Eve was the first one to sin. And after Adam and Eve then had both sinned, it's interesting. Eve sinned first, but after they'd both sinned, who was the first one to get called out? It's Adam. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. Very interesting. Eve sinned first, and when God steps into the garden, the first name that he calls is not Eve, it's Adam. Why is that? Well, it's because God has given husbands the responsibility to have Christ-like leadership in the family, given them the responsibility to take ownership for protection and provision, and in that moment, Adam failed. He was to be the covering for his wife. He was to protect her. He was supposed to say, no, sin's not coming into my family, not on my watch, not today, just get out of here. That's what he was supposed to do. Instead, he stood there, sees it happen, and then engages with it himself, and God comes in, and he's not calling out Eve right away. He's calling out Adam, because God had given him responsibility in the home for Christ-like leadership, protection, provision, and what we get to here is love. A responsibility to love. Remember, different roles, different responsibilities, and as we saw even back in the Garden of Eden, different accountability called to love. Now, most of us guys, we might feel like we got this down. We love a lot of things, right? I mean, we love chicken burritos. We love sports. We love our wife. I mean, we love life, right? We love. We got this down. We got this love thing down. But the love that Paul the Apostle and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is referring to is not the kind of love that we attribute to all these other things that we really, really, really like. It is a deeper, it's a profound love. It's a God love. We read about this type of love in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, love is patient, love is kind. But I have to tell you that sometimes I think we misread that scripture. Let me illustrate. When I was a teenager, I was asked to be part of a group of other teenagers who were going to quote 1 Corinthians 13 in a wedding ceremony. And the people that are getting married thought it'd be the greatest thing ever. And I said, yes, I don't know why. And other teenagers did too at this church. And so we were all together and we needed to memorize 1 Corinthians 13. And then we were going to come up and quote it in unison. And I remember standing up there, and I just want to apologize to that couple. I don't remember their names. I want to apologize to that couple right now because I did not take it serious at all. First of all, I didn't know it very well. And so I knew I was going to have to do some lip syncing, you know, to save face up there. But the other thing is, during this time, and I was with some of my buddies, we were just trying not to laugh. It's like this serious, you know, this beautiful moment in this wedding. And it was, to me, it was a joke. It's like, what am I doing right now? That's why I'm apologizing to that couple. it just sounded so beautiful. Love is patient. Love is, it sounded so flowery. And as a guy, I'm not into that. I'm not into the beautiful, into the flowery. I'm into courage and into strength and doing hard things because they're the right things. And I'm into protecting my family no matter what. That's what I'm into. And I'm kind of sick of us reading 1 Corinthians 13 like it's flowery and girly. All right? And so I want to read one part of 1 Corinthians 13 because it's the description of the kind of love that us husbands are called not just to have, but to give. This is what we're called to give to our wives day in, day out. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. This love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. You see, that to me, as I read it now, is not flowery. It's not so beautiful. As I read it, this is like otherworldly. This is the kind of love, the level of love that I can't pull off on my own every single moment of every single day. This is God-level love. This is that unconditional love that, God, I need your help because you have called me to live this out. It's this courageous undertaking that a man takes on when he steps to the altar to get married. It is not for the faint of heart. This is a love that is godlike. And as we see this passage of Scripture, we realize that love is to never end. So husbands, I mean, even if we're tired, we're mistreated, we're wronged, we're disrespected, whatever it might be, it doesn't give us an excuse. This love that's described in chapter 3 of Colossians is a love that never is to end. And that's our responsibility. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them or do not become bitter. Instead, forgive, love, give. Ephesians 5 says this, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wow. See what I'm saying? Wow. That is huge. That we are to treat our wives as Jesus Christ treats us. Oh my. As he treats the church. And as guys, I'll tell you, isn't it easier to say I would take a bullet for my wife? That sounds so heroic. Isn't it easier to say I'll take a bullet for my wife than to serve her day in, day out? Interestingly, Christ served the church. He came not to be served, but to serve. And so as husbands, we're called to this love. It's not just a love that is in word, but it is in deed. It is an action. It is something that is to be ongoing. And if you're like me, you need God's help with that, right? Because we can be selfish and we can be self-motivated. All these things, like to do things for ourselves. No. We're to be selfless and to love our wives. When we embrace husbands, when we embrace the role of love, we reveal Jesus to those around us. Because when we love as Christ loved us, we are revealing the love of God to people that don't know the love of God. It is a powerful way for us to impact not just people in our home, but people outside our home as they see us, what? Loving our wife.
Now let's take a look at the instructions that are given to children, because verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now once again, we see different roles, we see different responsibilities, and we see different accountability. For children, they are called to obedience. And the obedience of a child represents the obedience of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke 2:51-52, we read this about Jesus. And he went down with them, his parents, and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Philippians 2:8 then describes Jesus this way. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
Okay, as parents, we have a massive responsibility to raise our kids to lean into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's ultimately their choice. We get that, but we have a huge responsibility to do everything that we can to train them up in the way that they should go. That's our responsibility. Different roles, different responsibilities. And then we get to kids, and like she said, I mean, kids also have a responsibility. It is not to, you know, kids here, teenagers here, your role right now is not to yield or submit to your wife, okay? And it is not to love your wife. I mean, okay, or yield to your husband, whatever. Did I say that wrong? Most likely. Okay. Different role, different responsibility, or different stage in life. And at the stage in life where you're living under your parents' roof, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives you a responsibility. It is obey. Obey. It's obedience. And that obedience shows the obedience of Christ. It's a powerful picture to your friends and to your peers. When you obey your parents, you are showing part of the character of Jesus Christ that we want everyone to know about. It's a powerful, powerful picture. Now, we could look at the scripture and say, children, obey your parents, and stop there. And it's up to the teenagers and the kids to decide when, right? I agree with this. So that's kind of like what my friends get to do. I'm okay with that. But no, Paul says, children, obey your parents in everything. In everything. Even when you don't want to. Even when it's not fun. Even when you disagree. Children, obey your parents. What does it say? Right here. In everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, if a child is consistently not obeying their parents, they're not obeying God. So kids and teenagers, if you're here, just know that if you're like, oh, I'm disobeying against my parents, I'm doing my own thing, then you are doing that to God. Your parents are not God, but God has given your parents to be the spiritual authority over you while you're still living in their home. And so if a child is intent on obeying their parents, their heart is opened up for what? The fear of the Lord to be in their heart and to have a reverence for God as they are learning obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this pleases the Lord. I mean, that to me is awesome, that a child or a teenager can actually bring delight to God. And you're like, well, how? Obey your parents. Don't you love that there's not this long list here? And take out the trash and this and that. No, just obey your parents. And Paul leaves it at that. For this pleases the Lord. And when every member of the family is following the example of Christ, when every member of the family is fulfilling their God-given roles, the family experiences much peace, right? When every part of the family is doing their part, when every part of the family is linked up in God-glorifying ways, you are also making everyone around you aware of the glory and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. I mean, it is bigger than just, I'm not going to get in trouble, or bigger than just, I hope my wife likes me. It's bigger than that. It is presenting a picture to the world of what the character of Jesus really is. Now, many of the families in this congregation, I'm sure, have experienced times when one part of the family or more is not embracing their God-given role. Now, I'm not just talking about making a mistake here or there, oh, I slipped up here, whatever. But a consistent lack of embracing the God-given role and responsibility given to that particular family member. And we know that when that happens, there's not peace, right? When that happens, there's a breakdown, problems arise. I think about a chain that's really strong and every link is important, right, to keep it strong. And when there is a missing link, problems are going to happen, right? This is going to come apart. It's not going to work. It's not going to be as strong as it should have been or as it was created to be. And so I want to end this time together just by asking a couple questions. And the first one is this: what if someone else in your family besides you is the missing link? All right? What if someone else in your family is the wrench in the works, the one that is not fully embracing their God-given role? What should you do? Well, I think it's obvious. You yell at them, right? You belittle them. You nag them. You're just frustrated with them, and you let them know that all the time. If it's a spouse, what do? You know, you go on Facebook and look for an old high school flame. No. If someone else in this chain is the missing link, you pray for them. And then you pray again, and then again, and then again, and again. And then you do your part regardless of their part. You do your God-given part. Hey, when you stand before God, I'm telling you, excuses are not going to be there. God speaks to you, and did you fulfill your God-given role as wife or as husband or as child in that time of your life? Well, if that, really? Is that going to fly in the presence of the holy God? No. Do your part regardless of whether or not they do their part. Some of you have heard of the crazy cycle. This is what some counselors and such call it. And it's basically this, where a wife doesn't give her husband respect, and so the husband, not having received respect, doesn't love on his wife. So she doesn't feel loved, so she doesn't show respect. He doesn't feel respected, so he doesn't show love. And it continues until someone says, wait a second, I believe God is calling me with a different role and a different responsibility to do my part regardless of what the other person does. I want you to know that when you do your part, you have the potential to impact them in incredible ways. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that if you do your part, guaranteed that child or that husband or that wife will start doing their part and start glorifying God in their part of the family. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. I will say, though, they will be impacted. They will be impacted. 1 Peter chapter 3 has an awesome scripture about wives, and I think it relates also to husbands and to children and the parts of the family. It says, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. It is this potential to see them come to Jesus, or if they're following Jesus, to find out what it means to follow Jesus in the family. This an amazing potential to let your light so shine before people that they will see your good works and then in turn glorify the Father who is in heaven. Incredible opportunity if you do your part. All right, the second question is this: what if you are the missing link in this? What if you're the missing link in the family that God has blessed you with? You're the link that is the breakdown. Nobody needs to be doing this right now, okay? Here's what you need to do if you are the missing link. First of all, repent. Straight up, repent. Own it. You've heard from the Word what our responsibilities are in the family. And if you're not living that out with God's strength, repent. God, I'm sorry. It's time for us to own it, right? Isn't it time for us to own it? The rest of your family already knows it. So it's time for us to own it, repent, and then redirect. Today can be a different day. There can be change. Because we're operating with the power of God. If we're a follower of Jesus, there is no limit to what God can do through us. There's no limit to what can change in your home and in your family. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. And as we embrace our God-given role, we are revealing Jesus to those around us. That's why that's why we have to understand there's so much at stake here. Husbands, there's so much at stake here. wives, so much at stake, children. To think that disobey, and your life's going to be great, you haven't read the Bible. There's so much at stake. Futures at stake. People seeing Jesus, that's at stake. Because God wanted the family. Family was instituted before the church. The family to be a picture of the character of God in our lives. And Lacey and I up here sharing, you know, as your pastor and your pastor's wife, we're not sharing because we've got this all figured out and because we're experts in this, okay? Well, I mean, she might be. But we're not sharing this because we're experts in this. We're sharing this because we're human. And we're all in this together. We're all on this journey together of saying, this is such a high calling. Wives, isn't that a high calling? Husbands, children, and it's a high calling that we can't accomplish on our own. And what we see in Colossians is these things, yes, that God is calling us to, but what was the foundation? It was, well, this is what Jesus has accomplished so that you can. In chapter 1, we read the prayer of Paul, and that is that we would be strengthened according to his glorious might so we could live a life that's pleasing to him. It's only going to be through his strength. And so as we close today, I want to pray with and for all of the wives, husbands, and children who are still living in their parents' home right now, and for those that are online as well. And I understand that in a church like this, there are going to be those who aren't fitting into one of those categories right now. And even talking about these things could have brought up some hurt and some thoughts and memories of the past. I believe that God is one who loves you and he knows everything about you. He knows what you're walking through. He knows what you're walking through. He is with you if you've placed your faith in him. And I pray that as we pray for wives, husbands, children, that if you're not in that category, you're not in that calling right now, that you would join in prayer for all of those who are, so that together we can all glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to ask this, all the wives and the husbands and children who still live under their parents' roof, to please stand. Would you please stand? I just want to pray for you. And those that are engaged with us online, I would ask that you would even stand right there in your living room or wherever you're at, unless you're driving. Make sure you keep driving. But if you are online with us in your home, would you please stand? And we're just taking a step here, just a step of consecration. And I want to pray for you, but I hope that by standing, you're saying not just I exist as a husband or a wife or a child, but you're saying, no, I want to put a line in the sand and say, you know what? This is my God-given role, my God-given responsibility, and it will be a God-given accountability in the future. And with God's help, I'm all in. So, Lord, I come before you right now. I thank you for your word that's so clear, Lord, what you call us to, and it's so clear that we don't have to accomplish any of it on our own. We're dependent on you. And so, Lord, I pray right now specifically for the wives who are in this place. Thank you for creating them. Thank you, Lord, for being so intentional in your design for there to be wives and husbands and children and in the family. And I pray now specifically for wives, Lord, that their lives will show the submission, Lord Jesus, that you had to the Father's will. Lord, that their lives will be yielded in love and that it will not just affect their family, but it will affect all of those around them who see them wanting to glorify you and wanting to humble themselves before you. God, I pray over the husbands, Lord, that they will live a life of humility and courage and strength, and they will embark on this mission this week of loving their wives. Of loving their wives, of instead of being bitter toward them, of caring for them and being a love that never, ever, ever ends. And may the love that they show their wives this week reveal the love of Jesus to those that are around them. I pray for the kids and teenagers who are with us. Lord, I thank you for the future that you have for them. I believe that you have things planned that they can't even imagine right now in serving you. And Lord, I pray that they will see that these moments do matter, that their obedience to their parents makes a statement, not just to you, but to this world about the obedience, Jesus, that you lived in, even being obedient to go all the way to the cross. God, we need your strength and your power, and I just pray an anointing over everybody that is here, that as we walk out of this place, there will be a new consecration, a new dedication to live out the calling that we see in Scripture today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Oh, the rest of you, would you please join us as we stand? And God is moving in our lives. And if you're here today and you say, I have not yet accepted Jesus Christ into my life, you're online and you have not yet made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, he's not supreme in your life, you can do that even in this moment, even today, by calling on the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe in you. You're the Son of God. I want you to be the Lord of my life, even right then and there as you place your faith in him. God will call you a child of God, coming into your life to be the Lord of your life. Well, thank you for being here today, for us having the opportunity to be in God's Word. We have our marching orders as we head out of here, and so by God's grace, I believe that we're going to live them out. Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.